Chapter 7. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Herod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Morah. The Lord said to Gideon,
"You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead."
So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon,
"There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them for you there. If I say, 'This one shall go with you,' he shall go. But if I say, 'This one shall not go with you,' he shall not go."
So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him,
"Separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink."
300 men lapped with their hands to their mouths. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon,
"With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place."
So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300, who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon,
"Get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp."
So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream.
"I had a dream,"
he was saying.
"A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed."
His friend responded,
"This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands."
When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out,
"Get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands."
Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them, with torches inside.
"Watch me,"
he told them.
"Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout, 'For the Lord and for Gideon!'"
Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars. Grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow, they shouted,
"A sword for the Lord and for Gideon!"
While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled to Beth Shitta, toward Zerara, as far as the border of Abel-Mahalah, near Tabith. Israelites from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh were called out, and they pursued the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying,
"Come down against the Midianites and seize the waters of the Jordan ahead of them, as far as Beth-Bara."
So all the men of Ephraim were called out, and they took the waters of the Jordan as far as Beth-Bara. They also captured two of the Midianite leaders, Oreb and Zeeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeeb at the winepress of Zeeb. They pursued the Midianites and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon, who was by the Jordan. Chapter 8. Now the Ephraimites asked Gideon,
"Why have you treated us like this? Why didn't you call us when you went to fight Midian?"
And they criticized him sharply. But he answered them,
"What have I accomplished compared to you? Aren't the gleanings of Ephraim's grapes better than the full grape harvest of Abiezer? God gave Oreb and Zeeb, the Midianite leaders, into your hands. What was I able to do compared to you?"
At this, their resentment against him subsided. Gideon and his 300 men, exhausted yet keeping up the pursuit, came to the Jordan and crossed it. He said to the men of Succoth,
"Give my troops some bread. They are worn out, and I am still pursuing Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian."
But the officials of Succoth said,
"Do you already have the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna in your possession? Why should we give bread to your troops?"
Then Gideon replied,
"Just for that. When the Lord has given Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, I will tear your flesh with desert thorns and briars."
From there, he went up to Peniel and made the same request of them. But they answered as the men of Succoth had. So he said to the men of Peniel,
"When I return in triumph, I will tear down this tower."
Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor with a force of about 15,000 men, all that were left of the armies of the eastern peoples. 120,000 swordsmen had fallen. Gideon went up by the route of the nomads east of Nobah and Jogbaha, and fell upon the unsuspecting army. Zeba and Zalmunna, the two kings of Midian, fled, but he pursued them and captured them, routing their entire army. Gideon, son of Joash, then returned from the battle by the pass of Heres. He caught a young man of Succoth and questioned him, and the young man wrote down for him the names of the 77 officials of Succoth, the elders of the town. Then Gideon came and said to the men of Succoth,
"Here are Zeba and Zalmunna, about whom you taunted me by saying, 'Do you already have the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna in your possession? Why should we give bread to your exhausted men?'"
He took the elders of the town and taught the men of Succoth a lesson by punishing them with desert thorns and briars. He also pulled down the tower of Peniel and killed the men of the town. Then he asked Zeba and Zalmunna,
"What kind of men did you kill at Tabor?"
"Men like you,"
they answered,
"each one with the bearing of a prince."
Gideon replied,
"Those were my brothers, the sons of my own mother. As surely as the Lord lives, if you had spared their lives, I would not kill you."
Turning to Jether, his oldest son, he said,
"Kill them."
But Jether did not draw his sword, because he was only a boy and was afraid. Zeba and Zalmunna said,
"Come, do it yourself. As is the man, so is his strength."
So Gideon stepped forward and killed them, and took the ornaments off their camels' necks. The Israelites said to Gideon,
"Rule over us, you, your son, and your grandson, because you have saved us out of the hand of Midian."
But Gideon told them,
"I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you. The Lord will rule over you."
And he said,
"I do have one request, that each of you give me an earring from your share of the plunder."
It was the custom of the Ishmaelites to wear gold earrings. They answered,
"We'll be glad to give them."
So they spread out a garment, and each man threw a ring from his plunder onto it. The weight of the gold rings he asked for came to 1,700 shekels, not counting the ornaments, the pendants, and the purple garments worn by the kings of Midian or the chains that were on their camels' necks. Gideon made the gold into an ephod, which he placed in Ophrah, his town. All Israel prostituted themselves by worshiping it there, and it became a snare to Gideon and his family. Thus Midian was subdued before the Israelites and did not raise its head again. During Gideon's lifetime, the land enjoyed peace 40 years. Jerubbaal, son of Joash, went back home to live. He had 70 sons of his own, for he had many wives. His concubine, who lived in Shechem, also bore him a son, whom he named Abimelech. Gideon, son of Joash, died at a good old age and was buried in the tomb of his father Joash in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. No sooner had Gideon died than the Israelites again prostituted themselves to the Baals. They set up Baal-berith as their god and did not remember the Lord their God, who had rescued them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. They also failed to show kindness to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, for all the good things he had done for them. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead, who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him, because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked,
"Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?"
But Jesus turned and rebuked them.
and they went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him,
I will follow you wherever you go.
Jesus replied,
Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.
He said to another man,
Follow me.
But the man replied,
Lord, first let me go and bury my father.
Jesus said to him,
Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God.
Still, another said,
I will follow you, Lord. But first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family.
Jesus replied,
No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God.